Our Bible reading is from the New Testament book of Luke. From chapter 11, we'll read verses 1 through 13. In the New King James Version Pew Bible, we're on page 1481. Before we read, let us pray. Speak, Lord, for your servants listen. Amen. Luke 11. Now it came to pass, as Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So Jesus said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And Jesus said to them, Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, Do not trouble me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to you because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. Jesus was a man of prayer. In his book, How to Pray, Ronnie W. Floyd writes, Jesus was a man of prayer. Think about that for a moment. He was God's son. Jesus could do anything that he wanted with his life, but he chose to dedicate his life on earth to prayer and to service. Jesus wanted fellowship with his Father in heaven, and he knew prayer was the way to experience it. Prayer is talking to God and listening to God. Now it came to pass, as Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he sees that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray. Would Jesus' disciples ask him to teach them to pray? It is significant. They didn't ask him how to take a few fish and loaves of bread and feed thousands. They did not ask him how to heal the sick or cast out demons. They did not ask him to teach them how to raise the dead or how to preach the gospel. They did not ask him to teach them how to build the kingdom. Now, they seem to understand that if they could pray like Jesus, then they would be able to be more like Jesus. Lord, teach us to pray. A disciple is a learner, one who learns from their teacher. They learn through words, through watching, through experience. One learns through trying. Jesus' disciples watched him pray. Sometimes they saw him leave early in the morning and go to a private place. Sometimes he prayed late into the night with his disciples just a few feet away. Sometimes in a crowd he lifted his eyes upward and he prayed. He prayed and it made a difference. One day after he finished praying, one of his disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. Jesus didn't say to cover your head or to uncover your head. He didn't talk about close your eyes or open your eyes, fold your hands or extend your arms out. He didn't say bow your knees or fall on your face. He didn't say morning, noon, and night. He didn't say face the temple or to go on a mountain. Instead, he gave them an example of prayer as they watched his prayer life. So Jesus said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father. Jesus begins by informing them whom they are addressing. You are going to God as a child to a father. In John 20, 17, we have the words of Jesus to Mary Magdalene after his resurrection. And Jesus said to Mary, Do not cling to me, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go and tell my brethren and say to them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and to your God. God is Father to Jesus and God is Father to those who believe in God through Jesus Christ. Our Father puts us in community with God and also with other believers. Our Father in Heaven. We've mentioned before Adrian Rogers' easy-to-remember distinction of heaven, but I think it bears repeating. There are three heavens. The first heaven is where the birds fly, the second heaven is where the stars shine, and the third heaven is the abode of God. The first heaven we see by day, the second heaven we see by night, and the third heaven we see by faith. Our Father in Heaven, hallowed be your name. Bible teacher John MacArthur writes, hallowed, it's an old English word, and it means to make holy. So to hallow God's name is to revere, is to honor, is to glorify, praise, and obey God as perfect. Name represents who we are. So God's name represents all that God is, all of God's character, plan, will. Then we pray, your kingdom come. Kingdom is not referring to a geographical territory, but it's to rule and dominion. While it's true that God created the world and God holds the world in God's hand, Scripture indicates that God has given humans the responsible privilege to be stewards of this earth. God has given us free will to choose to be a citizen in God's divine kingdom. We pray for God's kingdom to come into a full sense. We want everyone to acknowledge God through a relationship with Jesus Christ. One way in which God's kingdom comes to earth is when a new soul is brought into the kingdom. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's will is always done in heaven, but Jesus is telling us that it's not always done here on earth. We pray that it will be done on earth. There's a tension between God's sovereignty and human will, between God's grace and human faith. It's not up to us to modify God's truth. God is in charge, but God gives us choices. God extends grace, but expects us to exercise faith. Then we pray, give us day by day our daily bread. Daily bread includes every need that we have in this present, this day. It may be food to eat, clothes to wear, money to pay bills, a healing touch, or the strength to get through a difficult day. Then we pray, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Sin misses the mark of God's standard of righteousness. Sin is that which separates humans from God, and it's therefore our greatest enemy and our worst problem. Sin dominates the mind and the heart of a person. It has dominated every human, and that makes humans susceptible to disease, to illness, and every conceivable form of evil and unhappiness, present and eternal. Sin is the most common component, be it of every crime or theft, lie, murder, immorality, pain, and sorrow of humankind. It's also the moral and spiritual disease for which we humans have no cure. Because our greatest problem is sin, our greatest need is forgiveness. And that is what God provides. God has provided this forgiveness through Jesus. Christians are no longer condemned. We're no longer destined for hell. The eternal judge has declared us pardoned, justified, righteous. Though we have been forgiven the ultimate penalty of sin as Christians, we still need God's constant forgiveness for the sins that we, regrettably, we do continue to commit. We are to pray, therefore, forgive us. There is a prerequisite. Forgive us, for we have forgiven everyone indebted to us. Debt is when something is owed. It's a term used for sin. It refers to moral or spiritual debts. Sin is a moral and a spiritual debt to God that must be paid. Jesus paid the debt for our sin, and when we forgive others who have wronged us, we're paying the debt. We pay it. We extend mercy and grace because God has been merciful and gracious to us. Forgiveness certainly provides benefit to the one that's being forgiven, but it also provides benefit to the one who forgives. First of all, it reprises or makes the present God's image in us, and it makes us like God who forgives. It makes us like our Savior Jesus Christ who has sacrificed for us. So anytime we are wronged, we do lose something. Sometimes we lose something material. Sometimes maybe we lose our innocence. Maybe we lose our peace. Maybe our security. When we forgive, we let go of that debt incurred. Forgiveness also frees us from the control of the person who has wronged us. Unforgiveness locks into us bitterness and anger, which leads us into our own sin. Forgive us, for we forgive others. And we pray, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We're saying, Father, do not permit us to walk in places where we will be tempted to sin. Do not lead us into testing, which will cause us to sin. Instead, deliver us from the evil one who tries to invade our life. Luke's account of this prayer ends the prayer with, deliver us from the evil one. Matthew's account in Matthew 6, verse 13, and also the Lord's Prayer that we pray each Sunday, ends with, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Because these words were not found in the most reliable original manuscript that we have, some conclude that they were added later when copied. The words are a fitting ending as they form a beautiful doxology, a praise to God's greatness. Jesus encouraged his disciples with the example of prayer. He taught them a pattern of prayer with the Lord's Prayer. Begin by praising God and praying for God's will. Pray for daily needs. Pray for forgiveness. Pray that you'll not be led into temptation. And then he gave them a parable about persistent prayer. So suppose you go to your friend's home after midnight needing bread for unexpected out-of-town company. Your friend does not want to be troubled because his door is shut and he and his children are snuggled in bed. Though he will not rise because of friendship, he will rise and meet your need because of continued persistence with knocking and asking. Jesus said, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you'll find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and he who knocks, it will be opened. Now, Jesus is not suggesting that God is a reluctant friend who doesn't want to be bothered with our prayers. He is, however, informing us that we need to be consistent and persistent in our prayer life. God is the Heavenly Father who wants to answer our prayer and give us the Holy Spirit. It's good to have a planned time to pray daily. This helps us keep us grateful to God for all our blessings and God's answers to our prayer. And it also keeps our spirit aligned with God. And sometimes we may pray prayers that we have learned, such as the Lord's Prayer. Or we may pray scripture. Or sometimes we may pray with words that just flow spontaneously out of our mind and our heart. Perhaps the purest of prayers, and we pray intercessory prayer for the needs of others. Sometimes we will pray prayers that will be urgent because of a dire need. It delights my soul when God provides a reading in the upper room which speaks to our scripture. The Monday, July the 21st, 2025, the upper room reading was from Victor Perez of Puerto Rico. He wrote, I traveled 2 hours from my home for a work meeting, so I took public transport. In the morning, I rode a passenger van. Well, for the ride home, the transport agent told me that the only van available would not take me all the way home, so I rode as far as I could. The last van going to my hometown left for the evening. There was no other option available. As I stood outside the transport office, I said aloud, please, Lord Jesus, send one of your angels to help me. Then minutes later, a transport van pulled up and the driver asked where I was going. When I told him, he replied, get in, that's where I'm headed. As we got underway, he told me he wasn't sure why he came that way. I told him that God nudged him in this direction because I had been praying for God's help. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for hearing our prayers. Help us to listen for your answers. Help us to trust your will to be done. In Jesus' name, amen.